Amen. I consider it an honor and a joy. Now I'm a little broke up here. Thanksgiving season is a great season. And I stand before you with a heart full of thankfulness this morning. I really do, guys. I'm not just saying that. You have embraced Cheryl and I. You have loved us. You've hugged our necks, because that's who we are, kind of huggy bear kind of guy. But you've accepted us. And I couldn't find a finer place in the world than to be right here, serving right beside you. We're all on a journey, aren't we? And I have a heart full of love and full of thankfulness for Northville Christian Assembly. I really do. And I don't want to put Pastor on the spot, but there's no finer person in the world that I'd rather be serving under than Pastor Brooks and Tammy McElhaney. I really would. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, we don't know. It's such a time as this that we get to step in as a staff and support our shepherd and to keep the body of Christ going forward directionally, spiritually, physically. So it's been a joy to team up with Pastor Grant and Kelly and all the other pastors and staff, Pastor Scott and Pastor Matt. God bless them. They put up with us. But it's a joy of our hearts this morning. This morning, I got a word for you that the Lord kind of laid on my heart for this day, for this hour. I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Luke this morning, Luke chapter 19 this morning. And we're going to read from the word of the Lord today. Luke chapter 19, it'll be a familiar portion of scripture to many of you. But hopefully this morning in a little different way than what we've anticipated it before. It's a challenging word that the Lord laid on my heart this morning. And sometimes first impressions are lasting impressions. and I hope that and pray that you'll receive it in a good way. And so we're going to move forward here this morning. Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 28. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. Everybody that's there, say amen. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.'" Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that I have to stand before the folks that we love, before the body of Christ, and give them the word that you laid on my heart, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll just take Pastor Chuck out of the way. Just make me invisible, Lord. And that your word would be the focus this morning. And that we would feast upon this word for days and weeks and possibly months to come. Let us leave this place different, God. Let us leave not as we came, but let us leave transformed by your word. I love you, God, and I give you thanks for this precious time that we have together. And we pray this in that precious, beautiful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's children would say, amen. 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 You know, some might say, well, Pastor Chuck, wait a minute, this is a good start for you, buddy. If you hadn't noticed, we're embarking on the Christmas season. This is kind of like the triumphal entry. That's the Easter. Well, you're mixed up, you know. Somehow, you know, you're in the wrong section here. But sometimes, guys, we can miss certain object lessons. When we're focusing on what's right in front of us, when in fact there's another lesson, there's another object God wants us to see along the way. And let me describe it. Let me give you a little story here that kind of describes what I'm talking about. A man came home from work one day to find that his wife is gone. She is nowhere to be found. In his travels throughout the house, he discovers a note that's taped to the refrigerator, and it said, "I'm sorry, but it's just not working anymore." And what did the man do? Well, he grabs the handle, he opens the fridge, the light comes on, the food is still cold, and he closes it back up, and it's working just fine, was his reply. Do you think the man missed an important part? He missed a particular point while only looking at the subject that was right in front of him. That's the feeling that I get this morning, that I believe when I read this portion of Scripture. Many commentators never stop at the colt. God repeats this portion of Scripture in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He does not repeat himself because he has nothing else to say. God has more to say than we could ever contain. And so, you know, they never stop. They run for the triumphal entry. And I understand that in Jerusalem that day, the fulfillment of prophecy, Zechariah 9:9, and it's the first time Jesus ever allowed the crowd to acknowledge him as Messiah. First time ever. And he supported that. But I think if you stop ahead of the time, if you stop at the colt, if we talk about that colt a little bit this morning, I believe within the context of that narrative, there are four characteristics that I believe that must reside within the heart of a man or a woman of God who is serving Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. The first part that I want to talk about today is a servant must be available to God. Everybody say available.
Available.
Available. The colt was available for the master's use. The colt that Jesus sent the disciples to retrieve was exactly in the right city, at the right street, was stationed at the right address. It was on 6 Mile Road in Northville. It was waiting to be summoned for the master's use. Whatever the master needed, he was waiting for the next request. Isn't Jesus our example of availability? You know, he's omnipresent, and I can't wrap my mind around that. He's all places at all times and all everywhere. There's nowhere that you can go from his presence. Thank God for that. He is as close as the mention of his name, and he always has been. You see, this is where the journey of following Christ all begins with us. It's with availability. If we've not made ourselves available to the Lord's use, the journey for us has never begun. And all of his blessings is null and void. You see, folks, it's not enough just to know about him standing afar off. But we need to answer the need of our Savior today and cry aloud like Isaiah did, "Here am I, send me." He didn't say, "I got it, God, but I'll pass your note on to Pastor Grant or Pastor Brooks." He didn't say that. He said, "Here am I, send me, I'm available." This very thought leads a challenging question for me today. Will I be in the place of availability for the Lord's use and fulfill the destiny that God has planned for all of us? Am I going to be available to spiritually lead my family, available for my neighbors, available for my community, available for the needs of Northville Christian Assembly? Am I going to be available for the mission that God has for my life? And for the need today, am I going to be available? What thoughts will cross our minds when God sends somebody to intercept us in our own little world when he has personal need of us? But guys, before the where question can be answered, the question is, are we available for God at all? God is looking for someone today that'll be available to dig into the foxholes of life, to be available to fight the fight of faith. God is looking for someone that is available for a covering, a protector, to stand guard against the forces that's trying to destroy our homes, to destroy our marriages, and destroy the body of Christ. You can't do that without the first step of being available. Are we really prepared this morning to be honest before God and make ourselves available today? Today might be the day that someone here this morning needs to move into that availability for God for the first time. Or maybe you might need to renew your commitment. I don't know. But my suggestion is to you, don't wait. Don't wait for the next service. Don't wait for the next hour. Don't wait. Make yourselves available to him. Just like the colt was available to Christ, let's make ourselves available to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Is that all right? Number two, a servant of God maintains an approachable personality. An approachable personality. See, the colt was approachable by the disciples. Did you notice the disposition of this colt is one of calmness and kind of peacefulness? The disciples just kind of walked right up to him and untied the animal without any difficulty or resistance at all, any struggle, no struggles. I find that that's unusual behavior, especially for a young colt that's never been ridden by anyone before. You see, I understand because the colt was tied, there has to be a level of a surrender to its owner, already resident in it. But complete strangers that just walk upon them unannounced will normally unnerve a young colt or a young animal. Come on, let's face it. Dogs will bark at you if they don't know you, you know, and they will get defensive quickly on a complete stranger. But I want you to notice something in this. If that colt remains unapproachable, he will never be loosed from the immovable object that has him tied up in bondage and handicap him from the full potential and eventual destiny in Jesus Christ. He'll never make it. You see, I believe that Jesus is the perfect example of what approachability should be. The multitudes and the masses, they pressed him on every side, they just wanted to be near him. And when he left on a boat, they found out where he was going, and they ran around the lake on the other side and met him on the other side. They just wanted to be, they arrived on foot because they wanted to be near him. Even little children wanted to crawl up in his lap and sit down just to be near him. Ah, that's our approachable Lord, is it not? Could we take a lesson from that? But the next question I have to ask myself, well, where am I at on the approachable scale? I understand people. They've had past hurts, past criticisms. They've been betrayed. They've been humiliated. They've had personal abuse in their past. And that's some of the reasons that people have. And they just kind of tune everybody out, or they'll never allow anyone into their inner circle. They put up walls, you know, and you will never hurt me like that again because this is how I'm going to live my life. And they walk every day of their lives unapproachable. I understand that. But I will also tell you that more often than not, people that exhibit that unapproachable personality, they are invariably tied to the immovable bond somewhere in their lives. And as long as you remain that way, you'll never reach your full potential in Jesus Christ and never enjoy the fullness that you could have once enjoyed. Unapproachability, body of Christ, has its cost. Unapproachability may very well repel the person that has a word for you from the throne room of God. Unapproachability can cause one to miss the opportunity to hear the direction of the Lord. Now, I don't care if it's a little kid that walks up to Pastor Chuck and grabs me by the leg and looks in my eye and said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That might be my word from the throne room of God that I'm going to need next week to survive a trial or trouble or a situation in my life. Would you agree with that? Amen? Doesn't matter. How in the world are we going to present the gospel of Jesus Christ and introduce others to him without having an approachable personality? Can't make it. Oh, but if that's you this morning, I've got great news for you. I've got great news. I know a God that can break every chain. He's available to heal all of your wounds, physically, spiritually. He's the God that can and will start the process of setting you free, not tomorrow, this morning. Right here, right now. He can start that. Well, Pastor Chuck, I prayed and I didn't get an answer yesterday. Yeah, but today is a new day. If I didn't get it today, I'll look tomorrow. If I don't get it tomorrow, I'll look the next day, but I'm not stop looking. I'm going to look. I'm going to view. I'm going to wait for it. I'm looking tomorrow. Pastor, I'm looking for a healing for you tomorrow. If it didn't happen today, I'm looking tomorrow. That, we're not stopping looking. We're going to look to the Lord. God can set you free this morning. Well, hearing the verse, the voice of the Lord, hearing the voice of the Lord leads us to my next point, my next attribute, number three. A servant is attentive to the voice of the master. You see, that colt was fully and entirely attentive to the solitary voice of the master. Get that part. You see, this is another interesting point in the narrative in Scripture. Luke in his gospel declares, as we've already read, this colt had never been ridden before. The colt that no one has ever rode submits its self-control and immediately becomes meek under the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The colt immediately comprehends the word to begin to move and follows the road that he's been directed to travel on and on to the destination that Jesus wants to go. Well, I think that's unusual for a colt that's never carried anybody anywhere. I just find that's unusual. But let me interject another thought right here this morning, guys. There's another verse of Scripture that I believe it corresponds to the subject of meekness right here. I'm going to key on that word just for a second. You see, the world has got meekness so distorted you can't even recognize it anymore. It's what they think it means, and what it really means is totally two different things. You can't even recognize it anymore. Matthew 5:5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." You see, historians tell us in the time of Jesus, the Greek and Roman armies, they could not breed horses fast enough to equip their armies. And so what they would do, they would go into the wild and they would obtain wild horses that dwell there. And when they brought that horse in, the very first thing that the commander did was to assign a solitary soldier to that horse. Only that one soldier was allowed to break that horse or to meek that horse. And he was the only one that would ever ride that horse. That was very important. You see, the world thinks meekness is weakness, but that's not true. Meekness is power under control. That's a different story. That horse was just as strong as he'd ever been, but that strength is now under the exclusive control of his master. He had never lost strength. You see, the soldier's horse, that horse would turn at the whisper of the master in silent times, but also within the screams and the shouts of war. And even when that horse was wounded, the only voice that the horse would listen to would be its master, its rider. That's the only voice he would obey. What's the point, Pastor Chuck? One day like they did to Jesus, if we live any time on the face of the earth at all, one day we're going to be like they did to Jesus. You may have people shouting your accolades one day, and the next day they're shouting, "Crucify." You know, one day you left the house and the family was singing accolades, but when you got home, it was a war zone when you got back home. How many's ever been there? All right. You know what? You may have people shouting your accolades, and the next they shout "Crucify." One day they're your best friend, and the next day they won't even answer the phone. One day they'll talk to you. Next day they'll talk about you. You know, one day they love you, and the next day they can't stand to be around you anymore. What's the point? Beloved, I want you to know this above everything this morning. We never take our commands from those that sing our accolades, and you don't get your marching orders from those who shout "Crucify." In every instance, the only voice that we heed to is the one who is our Redeemer, our Savior, our Healer. He's the propitiation for my sins. This morning he is high and lifted up, and his train fills this temple. He's the Lord of hosts and the captain of the Lord's army. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's the only one that I allow to speak in my life in those times. He's the only voice you listen to. He's the master who says who I am and what I am. And in those times of happiness and times of war, hold your positions as servants of the Most High. Wait for the commander to give you the next order. Stay the course that God has set before you. Stay focused. Stay determined. Stay attentive to the voice of the Lord and him alone. Would anybody say amen to that? Now, I'm gonna say something that's not a part of my notes this morning. First service didn't get this, so. Let me say, maybe I'll look at the, let me look at the carpet. I'm gonna look at the carpet for a second. That way, nobody can say, Pastor Chuck, are you looking at me? No. Look at the carpet for a minute. Let me say to all of you, and especially our younger people that are serving Christ, 10,000 years from today, the institutes of learning, the arenas of sports, this very building that we're standing in right now will be reduced to a pile of dust. But your soul will be alive somewhere. I highly suggest that you never tune out the one that holds your soul in the palm of your hands and never allow another voice to speak to you outside of that. Because you'll be alive somewhere 10,000 years from now. Pay attention. Don't ever let anyone override the voice of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life. Because he's the one that'll hold your soul in the palm of his hand. Amen. Well, first service didn't get that. All right, there you go. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. They follow me. They follow me. They do something. And that brings me to my final point this morning. It's not enough to hear the master's voice, but it has to be followed and obeyed. A servant is moved into action at the Lord's command. You see, the colt moved. He was moved into action at the voice of the Lord. We as servants are available, approachable, attentive, but this has to lead into action. The colt responded to the voice of the Lord. He went and accomplished the task that he was assigned to do. The Bible states in Luke 19:41, it's right in the context of what we're saying there. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. Drawing, that's action. We're doing something here, we're drawing. You see, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem can never be experienced if you're still standing in the city of Bethpage. Because you didn't go anywhere. There's no action. Action takes us to the place that we need to be in Christ. The colt experienced all of the festivities, all the accolades that day because he acted upon the command of the Lord to get him there. Our example of Jesus Christ, guys, he didn't tell us that he loved us. He just didn't say it. He acted upon that love and he displayed it on the cross of Calvary for all of us to see. Thank God for the cross. Amen. If he did that, how can we respond to him with idleness and apathy? When I look at that cross, I can't sit still. We got to do something. We got to move forward. We got to hear the commandment of our Lord and take the next step. We have to apply ourselves to live out with our whole being, to do what we've been called to do. Do what God has gifted us to do. Not what somebody else is doing. What, God, have you called me to do? There's a quote that I came across, a Christian magazine, and it said this, and I have it for you today. He said, what you do is what you believe. Everything else is just religious talk. Anybody say amen to that one? Beloved, I don't know. I really don't know. Nor is it recorded. The words that Jesus spoke to the colt that day to get him to start moving forward. I don't know what that was. But I have to believe that it's something on the order of, let's go. I got to believe that. But isn't that what the Lord is saying to the body of Christ this morning? Let's go. What is the Lord saying to your heart? Do you hear the Savior saying to your heart, come on, let's go. Let's go. Take the next step. And I'll leave you and end with this, with a question. To what actions have you been called to lately? What is God talking to you about? See, it don't matter how big or how small. If somebody sees it, somebody don't see it. It don't matter. It don't matter. God has revealed the need to you for you to act upon. He lets you see it so you would do something about it. And so we're called to action. So how about it, guys? How about it? 2015, come on. It's right around the corner. What's it, about 4 weeks away now? 5 weeks, whatever. Is 2015 the year that the Lord says, let's go? Let's go. Let's go. Let's move. But let's stay available. Let's stay approachable. Let's stay attentive. And that will lead this church into action. We're going to do something for Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. God, you challenged my heart. This word was for me to remind me, God, the attributes and the characteristics of a servant of Christ. Thank you, God, for your word. I've been humbled by it, oh God, this day. God, you have fed my heart. You have challenged my life. And I give you praise and honor for that, Lord. We ask, Lord, that we would feast upon this word. Make it alive in us, oh God, we pray. And touch our lives for the kingdom and for the glory of our King. Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.